Morning. We'll be reading from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, found in your Pew Bibles on 1062, page 1062. John chapter 10, starting in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of his sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father.
I greet you today in the grace and peace of our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. And I want to say it's been a gift most of the time. it's been a gift to be with you over these months. We began a journey together to listen to God and to one another and to reach this point of sharing life together. And as you have now walked through this time of transition and are embarking on a new chapter, I'm going to another church that's where you were in October and wondering about what's next. And so I'm going to invite you to Covenant to pray for them, as you kind of recently know what that is like. So the Providence First Church of the Nazarene down in Providence, Rhode Island, I invite you to be praying for them in a period of transition. Their transition is different than yours, but nonetheless, it's destabilizing. It's uncertain. They don't know what's next, much as you didn't know what was next. And so I invite you just to be praying for them, and as they will discern who God is calling them to be and live into that future for them as the faithful people of God. And again, thank you for the gift. I'm grateful. That's all I can say. I'm grateful. It's been good to be with you, and I give God thanks for the opportunity that we've spent together. And I'm going to miss the Thursday afternoons at 1 o'clock. There are a group of us that would gather for prayer and Bible reflection and sharing life together. Those are special times where the people of God gather in that kind of way. So I invite you into those activities as Pastor Gene leads you into being a deeper people. A richer people, a people giving faithful witness to who God is, and to take advantage of those opportunities to participate as the body comes to pray together, as it studies Scripture together, as it gives witness into the world to who God is. That is who you are to be as God's people. Pastor Gene, I'm delighted. It's been a rich gift to journey with you. We didn't really know each other. I probably couldn't even pick each other out of a police lineup, but... which is probably good. And Pastor Mike, again, it's been a gift. We've seen each other, and our lives have kind of been parallel in a lot of different ways, but it's been rich. I've learned a lot as we've shared times of prayer and Bible reflection and discerning what God is calling us to be as God's people. So thank you for your faithfulness to this congregation in these days as well. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You heard the prophet Isaiah as Pastor Mike read that passage at the beginning of our service together. And the prophet's words, they interrupt our silence. They capture our imagination. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. descriptive language. It's a rich language. It points us heavenward, seraphim, cherubim, dazzling colors, a picture of something glorious, something all-consuming, something wholly other. It's a kaleidoscope of divine activity. It's a dazzling image to behold. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's an interesting affirmation, don't you think? Especially when I look around in the world in which I live. The whole earth is full of his glory. And today we gather together in this sacred space to make some radical affirmations about God, about ourselves as God's people, the church, about God's work in Christ, about the work that God has given us to do. We gather together in this sacred space to make some radical affirmations about a pastor and a people. Each reading from the prophet Isaiah, from the apostle Paul, from the gospel, words attributed to Jesus, each reading offers an image to play with, a handle to grasp, an idea for us to consider. I'll call it a triad of images, three of them, a divine call, good shepherd, saints. Each one of these handles, each one of these images originates in God. They're not things that we make up. These images do not stand alone or in isolation from one another. We can't put them in separate containers. Divine call, good shepherd, saints. We can't put them in separate containers. They collide with one another. They interact with one another. They dance with one another. The prophet Isaiah responds to God's holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Woe am I. And completely aware of his limitations, he responds, here am I. Send me. Divine call. Our Ephesians reading only makes sense after hearing the previous three chapters proclaim the magnificent cosmic scope, the dimensions of God's work in the world. These saints are gifted people because God is and God creates. You are named saints by God, not because of what you do. You are named as saints by God. Gifted people are because God is and God creates. Then maybe it's true. The whole earth is full of his glory. And that gospel lesson, the good shepherd, willing to lay down his life. Yikes. Triad of images, divine call, good shepherd, saints. Each originates in God. Each image is God-shaped and God-filled with being and meaning. God is, God creates, God fills, God calls, God cares, God protects, God gifts. God, God, God. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's lofty language. Yet the ordinary stuff of life brings us back to our homes, to our jobs, to our responsibilities. You know, ordinary stuff. Diapers, dinner, dishes, homework, housework, yard work, relationships. And what better way to begin our descent back from those lofty places to our places of living and being than with Facebook? I entered the Facebook phenomenon on the ground floor, ground zero. My Facebook began, as you may know, as an Ivy League student attempt to connect, to friend other students and to access those students' contact information about fellow students so that they could meet up, they could begin to forge relationships. And so my venture into the Facebook world, and I'm not necessarily proud of this, originated in my desire to keep tabs on my students when I served as a college chaplain. Right? Facebook's greatest asset to me at that time, relationship status updates. Right? Facebook would confirm new relationships that I thought might be forming, but Facebook could confirm those for me. Relationship updates warned me of relationship breakups as well. Oh, I still lurk on Facebook. In the weeks around Thanksgiving and Christmas appear to increase the amount of relationship status updates. You know, the one pictures with taglines like, "She said yes," or "He finally asked." Those litter my page during those days. Many of us probably remember our own relationship status updates. See, I proposed to my wife, Stacy, on a carriage ride through the historic cobblestone streets of Boston's North End. Jean, perhaps you remember proposing to Linda.
Yes.
And it may be important to remember that even in light of celebrating your 39th, I think it's 39th wedding anniversary just this last week, right?
Yes.
For that, we give God thanks. Proposals, a proposal. Will you marry me? Relationship status update. Performative utterance is the sociological term to describe the relationship between words and reality. Speech theorists suggest that some words create new realities. The things we say bring into being things that didn't exist before. See, the marriage vow does not simply talk about or represent marriage. The bride and groom's mutual statements of "I do" and the minister's pronouncement actually names and creates a new reality. That which didn't exist before now exists. And that's why we're here today. Words will be spoken. He who wasn't the senior pastor in this congregation will become that senior pastor here. A new reality. Yet this isn't something the clergy choose. Becoming a pastor among a people is and always has been the church's proposal. Will you serve us as pastor? Will you equip us to do the work that God has given us to do? The church's proposal. Pastoral calling, three images, divine call, good shepherd, saints. These images do not stand alone, nor do they operate in isolation from one another, and we dare not put them in separate containers. They interact, they relate, they collide, they dance. The prophet Isaiah's classic call narrative gives us a handle for understanding why we are gathered together today. Here I am. Send me. Yet, did this divine call, this divine voice come out of nowhere? Perhaps you remember the biblical narrative about Samuel. You remember Samuel asleep on his bed when he hears his name called? Samuel. Samuel. And he jumps up and he runs to Eli. Eli rebuffs Samuel. I did a call for you. Go back to bed. Right? You know, those of us who are parents, you know, no, go back to bed. I didn't call for you. Again, Samuel hears his name called and he runs to Eli. And after the third call and response, Eli tells Samuel, respond in this way. Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I dare to suggest that Pastor Gene, as I was, as you all are, each of us was tutored. We were trained. We were invited to learn to listen, to discern a voice calling. The church nurtured each of us to listen, to hear, spiritual guides and mentors, pastors and teachers. A divine call arises in the relational space between God and God's people. Calling originates in God. God speaks, we listen. Divine call. God shaped and God filled with being and meaning. God is, God creates, God fills, God calls. God, God, God. The whole earth is full of his glory. Our gospel lesson introduces the good shepherd, Jesus. While shepherds seem to be rare here in Beverly, shepherd is a metaphor, an image employed by pastoral theologian to describe the gentle, loving, protective care offered to the sheep. A shepherd cares. A shepherd guides. A shepherd protects. It's a good handle for clergy. It's a good handle for a minister. Care. Guide. Protect. It's a biblical image. And everything for us today hinges on that very image. Good Shepherd Jesus, fully God, fully human, is the Good Shepherd. Jesus, incarnation of God. God is present with us. Birth, passion, death, resurrection. He lays down his life for his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. So a word of caution. When a metaphor, an image comes from Scripture and is employed to describe Christ's salvific work, it seems dangerous, even presumptuous, to wear it too formally. In Christmas pageants, we may see our children wrapped up in bathrobes too big for them. These shepherds may trip and stumble to the nativity to meet the baby. We chuckle. The bathrobes don't quite fit the shepherds. That is a true image for us clergy. Employing the image of shepherd for pastoral work may be very helpful, but always, always, we know, always remember that you're wearing a bathrobe, an image too big for you, for me. Rest assured, we clergy, we will trip and stumble in these bathrobes in our pastoral work. But we clergy, we offer representative care of the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We are sheep of his pasture. Good Shepherd. God shaped, God filled with being and meaning. God is, God creates, God fills, God cares, God protects. God, the whole earth is full of his glory. Finally, saints. Equip the saints. The funny thing is, saints are not super Christians, as kind of we've learned over the years. They're not. The saints are not the elite. Throughout Paul's correspondence, saints are named saints, and these saints are ordinary people like you and I. Nothing special about us. We are named saints because of the divine relationship we have with God. Ordinary people are named saints because of their relationship with God. Saint is a divine name given to you. Saints originate in God. Saints are God's gift to the world. In our Ephesians passage that was read for us, Paul is about to describe how we, you and I, ordinary people, get in on the action, how we live the gift. And just prior to these words of gifting that we heard, some to be prophets, some to be apostles, Paul pours everything he has written into a single word, calling. Not just Gene, but to each of us. Eli says, if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. We pray, speak, Lord, for your people are listening. God's word to us, saint, a call, an invitation. An invitation, a welcome into his presence in action. And when we respond to this call, to this invitation, we live a calling. This calling gives us a destination. It determines what we do. It shapes our behavior. It forms a coherent life for us. God's gifts to us to do the work that God has given us to do. You heard the words, I therefore, the prisoner of the law, Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. By the way, the verb call is the root of the Greek word for church, ekklesia. Calling and church arise from the same word. Today is for all of us. We invite you. We've called. Will you serve us? Will you help equip us to do the work that God has given us to do? But the call today is for all of us. God calls. God gifts. God. Saints. The whole earth is full of his glory. Divine call. Good shepherd. Saints. Each one originates in God's life. God is, God creates, God calls, God cares, God fills, God guides, God protects, God gifts. God. The whole earth is full of his glory. So, Pastor Gene, the church invites you to this holy task. Listening and speaking will now be your primary task among the people of God. You will work with words, right? With the word, the Logos. The church gives you language to speak. Words you utter will change realities. I now pronounce you husband and wife. That which didn't exist now exists. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That which didn't exist now exists. Sanctify these gifts to be the body of Christ for the people of God. Words and acts that will change reality. That's who the people of God are. The whole earth is full of his glory. Pastoral life and ministry, a holy calling. A dangerous calling. Listen carefully. Be very cautious with your words. Speak words of peace, of healing, of hope. Be a good shepherd. Be a good shepherd to God's people. Equip the saints to do the work that God has given them to do. And as we live faithfully together as pastor and people, we give witness to the reality that, in fact, the whole earth is full of his glory. This is the good news of Jesus for God's people this day. Amen. I invite our district superintendent, who will now lead us into a ritual, an act of installation of naming a new reality, of pronouncing that which wasn't, now is. Reverend Ken.
you also have an incredible church board. But they have grown in this process. And I remember meeting with them a couple of times before the October Sunday, and Pastor Jerry had to meet with them a couple of times, and they were nervous, which we all were, because these are uncertain times when you work through a transition. But you have a wonderful church board. And they have grown.
Although that's part of it too. This is a covenant. Can you hear me okay without this? Is that all right?
They can't record.
Oh, you can't record. Oh, so let me go back. No. This is a covenant. It's a covenant, which means there's the responsibilities that we all bring to this. And it's a covenant of community, congregation, and it's great. So I'm going to kind of go along here on the sheet, and I invite you to follow along. There'll be times when you'll respond, and there'll be times when Pastor Gene will respond as well. For 20 centuries now, in every generation, the church has set aside some of her members for special training and preparation, ordaining them to serve as clergy. She elects them to positions of responsibility, not privilege, although it is a privilege. They are to serve the needs of the church. These ministers give up their lives, so to speak, for their lives are not their own. They serve if and when and where and in the capacities that the church invites them to serve, as we've heard from Pastor Jeff so beautifully. They are the servants of God. The early church referred to them with words which meant table waiter, under rower, slave, priestly servant, and shepherd. Additionally, the minister today is seen as pastor and leader, and one who casts the vision and enters into this vision along with the congregation. The church ordains only those whom they believe God has called to such service. Pastor Gene, will you accept the charge to be the spiritual leader of this flock?
I will.
And will you, the members and friends of this congregation, accept, support, and uphold your pastor as he leads you? Doug's going to come and share the part of the congregational covenant. We appreciate Doug. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together as pastor and people to be workers together for your kingdom. As we labor together, we will support our pastor with respect, loyalty, love, and consistent prayer. We will accept his family with love, and we will hold them up with encouragement, affirmation, and prayer. We will give sacrificially of our time and means so that our pastor can be relieved as much as possible of the temporal cares of this life thereby allowing him to give his full attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. We will endeavor to respond positively to his pastoral leadership by active participation in the congregational life of the church as it carries out its fourfold mission of worship, evangelism, nurture, and service.
Amen. Thank you, Doug. A pastor uses many tools to fulfill his responsibilities faithfully. Some tools are sacred: the Bible, the cup and bread, the water of baptism. Others are more ordinary: a coffee mug, a worship book, a computer. Each tool used appropriately aids the pastor in the edification of the people of God for life and witness in this world. Yet, beyond these primary tools, a pastor serves out of a specific image or metaphor, the shepherd. Scripture reminds us, and Pastor Jeff did as well, that Jesus is the good shepherd and that his life and ministry offers us a way to organize pastoral life and care today. A shepherd cares. A shepherd guides. A shepherd protects. A shepherd has a primary tool, which is the crook. Let's see if I can get through this. The shepherd's use of a crook serves to extend the arm to offer clear direction to the sheep. It is to guide the sheep along the path and protect them from danger. On occasion, a sheep becomes wounded or injured. The crook is used in that situation to catch sheep in need of care and to prevent them from further injury. The crook helps the shepherd provide care, guidance, and protection. And Pastor Gene received this gift as the visible symbol of who you are to be among the people of God and to guide you in your care for the people of God. Our prayer is that each time you see it, you will be reminded that you minister to others as a representative of Jesus, the Good Shepherd.
In response to the gracious call of God, and in gratitude for the confidence you have expressed in me, I receive these symbols of pastoral leadership. I pledge to you a stewardship of these resources and covenant with you to make ours a living and effective church. A church in which sermon and sacrament are based strongly on the word and vitalized with the dynamic presence of the Holy Spirit. A church with an atmospheric expectation of conversions. A church where the tempted are surrounded with victory. A church where the redeemed are enabled to see their largest need of Christ in cleansing fullness. A church where the particular consolations of God are given to the afflicted. A church where Christian men and women begin even on earth to be an authentic Christian community. A church which constantly witnesses to the whole world with sacrifice in its heart and single-mindedness in its purpose. I pledge to you a stewardship of my responsibilities as pastor, to live before you with integrity and Christian simplicity, to responsibly administer the affairs of the church in consultation and cooperation with the church board, the church staff, and the people in the congregation as we carry out the work of ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, to lead you in worship as a worshiping leader, developing a careful regimen of study, prayer, reflection, and preparation for the purposes of personal growth in ministry, to encourage you, to comfort you, instruct and challenge you by the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. to seek always, and in all appropriate ways, to extend the borders of the kingdom of God, cooperating with the district in the global Church of the Nazarene and fulfilling a worldwide mission. To live responsibly my roles as husband and father, giving to my family the care and love due them as gifts of God to me. To listen carefully to you, care deeply for you, work closely with you, and pray daily for you, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, to be a servant leader after the example of Christ.
Amen. Having committed yourself to this work, I charge you to care and care alike for the young and the old, the strong and the weak, the rich and the poor. By your words and by your life, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to the congregation, since you have willingly and prayerfully called your pastor to work among you, I charge you to willingly and prayerfully support, cooperate, and work together with him in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you both serve. Would you stand at this time? As we continue in our liturgy, you and Pastor will read this together in unison. Before you read the words, as you read these words, I want you to pay close attention to these words. They are powerful words. They speak of an agreement together that we will be the people of God. And there are some very specific things that this covenant relationship calls us to become, to be engaged in together. So please, not only hear the words, not only say them and hear them, but may they take root in your hearts and in your mind and in your hands. Let's do this together. I'll get us started. We shall strive
to cooperate, create, and sustain an effective ministry that will renew and strengthen each member of this community of faith. We shall actively seek and welcome into membership all persons without regard to their economic or social status, race, or nationality. We shall accept our responsibility for the moral and spiritual development in our community, living by Christian standards of good citizenship. We shall work together with other churches, denominations, and our community for the advancement of Christ's kingdom whenever we have an opportunity to do so. We shall
I almost had you repeat that paragraph right before that last paragraph, because it talks about relationships and working together. Those are very powerful words. And my prayer is that those words will find fulfillment as you journey together as pastor and people. Gene and Linda, if you will kneel here at the altar, and if your family can join you. And then if the church board will come and stand around them. And Pastor Jeff, if you can join me on the inside of the altar rail here. So I'm going to invite, come on up here, Mom. I'm going to invite all of you to come forward, actually. Because we are the church family. So come on forward, and I'm not going to ask you to sing or anything, a solo. After this part, we're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. So I'll just give you a heads up about that. Even if you're not a member of the church, you can still be a part of this as well, part of the family. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm related to you. Now look back and say, thanks for reminding me. By the power vested in me as superintendent of the New England District of the Church of the Nazarene, I declare to you that you have committed yourselves to mutual covenants, and I hereby install you as pastor of the Living Hope Church of the Nazarene. As new pastor and congregation, you have entered into a meaningful and solemn relationship, that of pastor and people. Let us join together in prayer, asking the Lord to bless, strengthen, and guide this new time of ministry for the church, pastor, and family. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you today for this very special time. And we lift up Pastor Gene and Linda. We thank you for this couple. We've known them for a bazillion years. We pray, Lord, that you will encourage them and guide them. We thank you, Lord, for this journey that this has taken. We thank you, God, for this congregation through the encouragement and leadership of Pastor Jeff, as they have sought to seek and to hear your voice and respond accordingly. We thank you, God, for the discoveries that were discovered. Some were known, some were unknown, and many of those that were known were just never spoken. And yet they were spoken in this process. And Lord, what the beautiful part about that is, that as we hear these words and in this time of gathering information, and as we own these words in these situations, as we own the potential and possibilities, as we own the problems and challenges, this is not unusual for any congregation. And so, Lord, we pray that you will guide and give wisdom and discernment and empowerment through the power of your Holy Spirit and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We pray that these words that were shared today in these covenants would find life and expression and fulfillment in abundant ways, in life-giving ways, in ways that blesses one another. We pray, Lord, that you will help this congregation to understand the identity of a church is not just in her seating capacity, but in her sending capacity. So, Lord, may we be people as we sit together to be discipled and to grow and to learn, that it's not for ourselves, it's not for certificates, it's not for brownie points with you, but it's for a work that you have called us to do in this community and in this world, the mission of God. Mm-hmm. I pray, God, that you will help all of us to open up our eyes, to look at the fields, and to find what is ripe. We pray, Lord, that you'll encourage this people and this pastor to be your flock. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Amen.
You may rise.
And I want you to have a look around to see all the people that are here. They love you. They care for you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you can clap. It's okay. At this time, we're going to sing, and then at the close of the song, Pastor Jeff is going to come and share the benediction with us this morning. Thank you.
receive the benediction this day. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, mm-hmm. forever and ever, and ever and ever, and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in God's peace this day. And there's a reception in the fellowship hall straight down the door.